Two Haynesboro manager finalists and one police chief finalist have withdrawn their applications, and the Skagway Assembly rejects a paid family leave resolution. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. Two finalists for the job of Haynesboro manager have withdrawn their applications. Dennis Koenig and Ken Decker were shortlisted by the Assembly, along with two other candidates, at a meeting last week. Koenig and Decker decided to remove themselves from the running after the Assembly's decision was reported in the press. Koenig is current town manager in Lahara, Colorado. Last week, the Chilkat Valley News reported that Koenig had a number of crude posts on his Facebook page. Today, Koenig withdrew his application. Richard Firstman was contracted by the Assembly to conduct the search for manager and police chief. He says Koenig withdrew because he felt that it would be hard to overcome the negative opinions of him before he arrived. Firstman says he conducts social media checks after the pool of candidates is narrowed to finalists. He says he talked to Koenig about the posts. He says Koenig told him they were a running barb with a fellow military veteran. Firstman says the two would share rather explicit posts back and forth to make light of conservative and liberal politics, and that the posts do not reflect Koenig's personal values. Firstman says Koenig felt people have already judged him and that it would be a waste of borough resources for him to visit Haynes for further interviews. Decker is county administrator in Caroline County, Maryland. Firstman says that Decker saw reports of the Assembly's discussion about the candidates in radio and newspaper stories, and that he felt the process of the Assembly openly vetting candidates exposed people unfairly. The other two finalists the Assembly selected are still in the running for the manager job. They are Mark Carrot, Director of Administrative Services in Hillsborough County, Florida, and William Seward, a Coast Guard director. Firstman says the Assembly could choose to add more candidates to the finalist roster. One finalist in the police chief search has also withdrawn from the running. Christian Corelli is a sergeant with the University of Michigan Police Department. Interim borough manager Brad Ryan says Corelli withdrew for personal reasons. Ryan says he hopes to add applicant Ed Casey as a finalist. If he accepts, Casey would be one of three finalists for the job. Finalists for manager and chief are scheduled to visit Haynes in May. Offering municipal employees 2 weeks of paid family leave is too costly for Skagway. That's what the Borough Assembly decided at a meeting last week. While the Assembly rejected the paid family leave resolution, they approved a controversial ordinance amending Port Commission Code. If the Assembly had okayed the paid leave resolution, Skagway might have been the only Alaska municipality to offer that kind of benefit. National groups that advocate for family-friendly workplace policies said they did not know of any Alaska cities that provide paid family leave.
I don't know where this came from because no one else does it.
That's Assemblyman Tim Cochran. He and others had two concerns. Employees could abuse the benefit, and it could be expensive. Skagway resident Mavis Henriksen agreed.
I like empathy, but can you afford it?
The paid leave resolution was significantly trimmed down from its first iteration. The Civic Affairs Committee cut it from 30 days of paid leave to 10 days. They added restrictions, including that an employee needed to work for a year before qualifying and could only use the benefit once every 2 years. Skagway has about 50 municipal employees, and none spoke at this meeting or others about the possibility of paid family leave. Assemblyman Jay Burnham was the one who proposed it.
I don't see that as a big burden to the city. And as far as a reason for it, an attaboy to the people who work here is all the reason I would need to say yes.
But even the more restrained policy proposed by Civic Affairs worried the other assembly members.
We're not big enough to afford it.
That's Steve Burnham Jr. He agreed with an idea from Assemblyman Spencer Morgan, an alternative to allow for employees to take off more time when needed.
I don't see a reason why if somebody starts getting on the lean end of their sick days, why the other employees here, because it is a part of their package, their benefit package, why they can't donate it, a sick day or a few sick days or even 5 sick days to somebody who might need it in that instance.
The ability for employees to donate sick days to their fellow workers was removed from Skagway personnel policy in 2015. Civic Affairs Chair Angela Greaser said it was something her committee could look into changing. The Assembly rejected the paid family leave resolution 5-1. Jay Burnham was the only vote in favor. The other big decision on the agenda had to do with the borough code that governs the Port Commission. The borough attorney suggested changes to the code that would reinforce the commission's role as an advisory board with limited power. The recommendations came after one port commissioner had a conversation with cruise line representatives that some on the Assembly considered out of line. Assemblyman Cochran, who is also liaison to the commission, has been opposed to the ordinance from the start.
Going out of our way to limit the positive progress and the help that the Port Commission does for this Assembly.
Steve Burnham Jr. made changes to the ordinance using input from the Port Commission. The Assembly voted 4-2 to accept his version with one change. Cochran and Morgan voted against it. The ordinance basically puts a lot of unwritten rules in writing, including limitations like the fact that the Port Commission can't act on behalf of the municipality. With warming ocean temperatures, the risk for paralytic shellfish poisoning can linger all year round, and Alaska has only one FDA-certified laboratory to test shellfish. There are no labs to protect those digging for their dinner, but that may soon change. At the end of the month, the Sitka Tribe of Alaska will open an environmental research laboratory and, with all hope, take a bite out of the testing market. KCAW's Emily Kwong has more.
This time last year, the room in the corner of the Research Protection Department was bare. And now it's got a fume hood, test tubes in every color, and this $49,000 machine.
This is the thing.
This is the big, exciting thing.
It goes beep.
Looks like a big box.
Yeah. It's your own R2-D2.
Yeah,
it's your own little robot.
Michael Jamros is the lab's new manager, and the robot in question is a plate reader, one of several machines that can analyze toxins in shellfish.
We shuck all the meat out, and then we put it in a blender to homogenize it.
Then Jamros extracts the toxins and removes the solids using a centrifuge. With a pipette, he'll dispense the solution in 96 tiny wells on one plastic plate. Imagine filling a tray with batter for 96 muffins. But instead of putting it in an oven, Jamros will feed it into a plate reader. He's running what's called an ELISA assay, measuring the toxicity of each well. The results appear on his laptop.
From here, we have our data that we can calculate from and figure out how much toxin is in our samples.
You hear that? Data. Cold, hard numbers that take the guesswork out of eating butter clams or blue mussels. In Southeast, there's never been a way for subsistence harvesters to assess the risk of paralytic shellfish poisoning or measure harmful algal blooms or HABs, which load shellfish with toxins, until now.
You know, Native people have been harvesting clams for thousands of years, and, you know, and a lot of the elders I talk to, they don't do it anymore because they just don't know.
Chris Whitehead is STA's environmental program manager and the driving force behind the lab. When he came to Sitka in 2013, Whitehead wanted to create a warning system for clam diggers, just like in Washington State.
The Department of Health has a great website you can look at and see what beaches are open or closed to kind of monitor these events, these HAB events. And when I got to Alaska, there wasn't anything like that set up.
White called up Alaska's state lab, housed at the Department of Environmental Conservation. They test all commercial shellfish.
But the turnaround time for the data to actually be usable for us to prevent human health issues wasn't going to work.
And so Whitehead decided to create his own marine biotoxin program right here in Southeast. He secured over $1 million in grant funding over the next 3 years, and he formed a coalition of 13 other tribes in the region to be eyes in the water, monitoring local beaches for toxic blooms.
So those sites will be monitored at the expense of the tribe and the resources that the tribes have every other week, so every tide cycle pretty much.
With the new laboratory, subsistence users can send their actual shellfish to Sitka and get results back in one business day. The lab is running samples all this month and sending their results to NOAA in Seattle for verification. If those check out, the lab will begin accepting subsistence shellfish as early as May. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Emily Kwong.
The Southeast Alaska Tribal Toxins Network includes the Skagway Traditional Council and the Chilkoot Indian Association in Haines. For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.